B-Pod Studios.
Right now.
It's like they're all on laughing gas.
It's Tusher and Rich.
Slow. Yeah, everything's in slow motion.
Boston's home for sports.
These are the kind of people that take snoozes under trees.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
She said, "You f***ing asshole, you people are going to get in trouble. I'm going to call on you because you can't turn around these spaces."
Everyone's angry in Brookline.
Huh?
Everyone's feeling stressed.
Yelling and screaming.
Where the people there are served.
Bang on everybody's door.
The average age is dead. The point is, it stinks.
I'm going to end up freaking out.
Nobody's having a good time.
There's some water on me and I'm wet.
I yell at people all the time. I jump in front of the car like I just did.
Oh, 98.5, a Sports Hub. It is Tutcher and Rich. What a town Brookline, Massachusetts is. It all started several years ago when the old scooter program ended up opening up in Brookline. Didn't last very long, and of course there were complaints everywhere to 911. Leaf blowers, oh, you got to get the volume on those. People running around town with volume meters to make sure that the people outside their house don't have their leaf blowers going at a decibel range that is unacceptable.
I am so lucky, Rich. I lived in Brookline for about 5 years, but I lived over in Brookline Village out near Route 9. On, you know, the intersection of Route 9 and Brookline Ave, and I was kept shielded, thankfully, away from all of that. I lived, I don't know, about 150 yards from Brookline Town Hall in that area, and I never experienced any of this. I don't know how I escaped it.
And Joe, it's not just like the petty calls for reasons that should never have ever reached 911. But now we're learning that there are some regulars and some strange characters that are around, that, like the woman with the siren that would always show up to the grocery store. And that's actually the manager calling, and that's how close the siren was being held to this person while they were trying to shop. But let's start off with our first call here. Once again, this is really, every time I hear some of these, you just got to give credit and just salute the heroes that have to be on the other end of these calls, the people who work at Brookline 911 and have to deal with some of these callers. Let's go ahead and get to call number one, real 911 calls to Brookline, Massachusetts. Let's take a listen.
Hello?
Hello, this is 911. Your phone called us. Are you okay?
Yes. No, I'm fine. I just wanted to report something. I don't know whether I was driving and now I drove by it and I thought maybe I should call you.
What is it?
I'm not even there anymore. This is over by Jamaica Pond. You know where you turn. You can go straight up to the Jamaica Way or take a left and kind of go along the Charles towards the Brook House.
Okay.
That's where I used to live.
There's this guy out running in snow. He has on a pair of shorts and a T-shirt and nothing else. He has nothing else on him. I just thought.
Okay.
I think I know who this woman is, by the way. I know.
And nothing else. There's nothing else on it.
All right, stop.
There is a woman who used to sit outside. I used to live in the group of buildings called the Brook House. It's right there. I know exactly. There used to be a woman who sat on a park bench, this Pond Avenue, Pond Street, right next to it. There was a bench there, and then you walk across, and the pond is right there. She used to call the police at least twice a week and just talk to them about what it is she saw. The security people in the building I used to live, there was like one security guard that would sit at the bottom of the complex. He used to tell me about this woman, and I used to go out there and watch. She would phone in everything. I saw a couple of women. She had extra dog, but one dog was off the leash, and she wanted the police to come and arrest these people. This sounds like that woman.
Okay. A dog off the leash, as petty as that is, might be against ordinances.
Mm-hmm.
There's a guy running in the snow.
No, this is just an example. She would call like, oh, there's a guy pushing a baby in a carriage, but the mother's not there. Where's the woman?
Everyone is just watching everyone in Brookline.
That's right.
It's like Big Brother wherever you go.
That's right.
You're being monitored no matter what you do. Now, maybe there's another shoe to drop in this. Maybe there's something else to it. This person. Yes, he is running.
Running in snow.
Okay.
He has on a pair of shorts and a T-shirt and nothing else. there's nothing else on him. I just
how long ago is this now?
Probably 2 minutes. I just decided I better pull over and report it because it's not. That old-
Red alert! I just figured I need to call and say, report something perfectly legal that literally nobody else would even blink an eye to. I don't know if this person's ever seen anyone training for the Boston Marathon, but oh, they do have to run in the snow sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Literally nothing else but shirts and shorts. Yeah. I mean, God, it's barely naked.
How long ago is this now?
Probably 2 minutes. I just decided I better pull over and report it because it's not. That's
how old
not
do you think
normal.
He is?
40-ish. But I mean, now he's running in snow.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay, it was not right. Normal.
Yeah,
okay.
Thank you for the call.
Okay,
somebody?
Bye.
No, if don't you think he robs someone? She would have said, "I think he robs one."
Yeah, but if he's running, I'm just trying to put it together here. Like,
no, it's a petty Brookline 911 caller reporting that, oh, this just doesn't seem right. How dare somebody be running in snow? A healthy 40-year-old out here. This is completely mind blowing to this woman.
Whatever he took, where is he going to hide it? He's running topless in shorts, Joe.
I guess I just can't understand.
Is he carrying like a safe
the cops
or something?
The guy's running. I mean, he's going to be running for a reason, right?
Have you ever listened to this before? This is right up there.
I get nothing else. I mean, you're in there Jamaica playing, so I figured, man, I don't know, baby. I don't know.
All right.
I mean, everyone's just, it's Big Brother. You move into, it's almost like this bubble you move into where just everyone's reporting on everyone. Everyone is just looking out the window. Everyone is Rosie the nosy neighbor.
Okay, it was normal.
Yeah, okay. Thank you for the call.
Okay,
yeah.
Bye.
Hey, there's a big fat guy walking down the street. He's got a beard. He's bald. I don't know what he's doing. He's fat and he's bald and he's got a beard.
Sounds like you've had that call made before.
Now, be honest. Have you ever been in a neighborhood where people look sideways at you simply because you look the way you do?
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah.
They don't trust me. They lock their doors when I walk by.
You are a large individual.
My God. By the way, I do. That voice does sound familiar, John.
We've had her on before. She sits. I'm telling you, I know this woman. It's been 20 years since I lived there. I know this woman.
And by the way, it sounds like, if you listen to the beginning of the call, like she had called them and like actually got, I guess accidentally got disconnected, so they called her back. So this almost sounds like this is like old hat to them, to the people in Brookline. Oh, geez. All right. Well, there you go. That's a top fiver. Let's get to clip number two. Once again, real 911 calls from...
Here we go.
Just the most petty people in Brookline. Let's take a listen.
911 recorded line, where is your emergency?
I am at Dean Road, and there's this little boy here, and I'm trying my best to not have to do anything to this little boy.
He's
coming after me.
Okay. And explain to me again what was
going on. Guys, he threw a stick at me.
How old is he?
This boy is 8 years old.
Spoiler alert. I think you can take him.
Yeah.
So it was a sticking.
He threw a stick at me.
Mm-hmm. How old is he?
This boy is 8 years old.
And is he white, black, Asian, Hispanic?
I would say white.
Okay, and what's he wearing?
He's wearing a blue pants, soccer jersey. Number 10.
Jammies with Yodas on them.
Little Yoda.
Did she say little pants? That was the first thing she said.
He's wearing a blue pants. Blue pants.
Hey, little pants.
He's wearing a blue pants.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Lil Pants.
Oh.
We're looking for a Lil Pants.
Just wait till it's snack time. He's going to go home.
With a stick.
Do you think she typed in to the description on the call screen for the cops? Look out for a white 8-year-old Little Pants.
He's wearing a Little Pants.
We've lost Rich.
I know, officially lost someone on the
phone. I'm reading a word on the back. I think it says granimals. There's a perp on the loose. What's he wearing? Oh, Oshkosh
Bagosh. He's wearing a blue pants.
Pull up, Pampers.
That's one, if you're a dispatcher, you save and play for everyone later. Jesus.
I'm sorry. Okay. All right.
How does this finish? Please. I can't wait to find out the conclusion.
I know. I completely. I'm sorry.
Come on. Let's hear what happens here.
All right. Let's let it roll.
Blue pants. Soccer jersey number 10.
Okay. Does he still have the rock or the stick?
He doesn't have anything now. He got rid of it.
Okay.
Because he heard me on the phone.
Okay. Are you safe right now?
Stop, 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 stop. So the 8-year-old heard me call the cops and he started to act right. Completely straighten him and his little pants out.
But I want justice. I want you guys to come down and arrest this kid.
Because he heard me on the phone.
Okay. Are you safe right now?
I hope to be.
So you're not out of the woods yet. Okay.
I hope to be.
He dropped the stick. He dropped whatever rocks he was throwing at you. But you're not sure now. You're not sure. You
okay.
still don't
Are
think
you
you're out of
right
the woods.
Now?
I hope to be. The boy left and is heading home.
His mom called him in for snack time is what
so
happened.
He said, APB, be on the look for a Little Pants wearing 8-year-old. He's armed and dangerous with a stick and possibly without a snack.
Okay, well, we are on the way for you, okay?
Oh,
okay. If anything changes, give us a call back.
Okay. I mean, come
no.
on. You're sending a cop out after an
no.
8-year-old?
No, and this is where I'm going to implement your way of thinking, Rich. If you're the cop and you get this call, you roll up to this woman and you ask her every question.
Yeah.
Could you please describe the child in question? What was
sure.
he wearing? I got to fill out the report. Do you want to press charge? I mean, spend a good half hour with this woman and make sure you get everything, every detail.
So it's that he's wearing stride rights and just threw the salami part of a Lunchable at me. I mean, he threw the whole foot of fruit by the
That's
foot.
That's right. Damn this cheddar cheese square. Get out of here.
He's wearing a... Blue pants.
Okay, I mean, that's just, that's fake. That's...
Two all-timers. It's pretty good.
I mean... I wonder if they got the kid. I mean, because I'm thinking hard time.
<That's right.
laughs> So he called me stupid head?
He's wearing a... Blue pants.
I mean, that's just... I still can't believe it. The little tiny little pants, you know, the kinds that 8-year-olds wear. They got a little elastic on them. You know, little tiny pants, little soccer shirt.
My life is in danger, damn it. You need to come now.
Licking a lollipop while skipping like a foppish dandy. All right, man. We got to job for Vegas. I ain't going back to jail. 8-year-old kid, probably. They can't get me again, copper. All right, man.
Stick at me.
How old is he?
This boy is 8 years old.
Okay. All right. Well. We had to make time for Mike Gorman. I'm sorry. I'm going to collect ourselves 617-779-0985. We'll get to a couple more of these in just
I'm
a little.
I'm trying my best to not have to do anything to this little boy. He still will stick at me.
How old is he?
This boy is 8 years old.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
They get you going.
That's a difficult thing to get through.
Every day.
That is 4 hours of conversation.
Toucher and Rich on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Tice cutting. Vucevic keeps it at the elbow. Throwing it back into Thompson. Turns, fades, and hits. Whew. What a night he is at.
What?
29 for Vucevic. 92-90.
Sports Hub, it's Toucher and Rich, and that was not the sweet, soothing voice of one Mike Gorman, because on the other side of things, in the TV broadcast, Mike was taking a well-deserved day off. Danny Ainge come on in, and Mike Gorman, the play-by-play voice of the Boston Celtics for NBC Sports Boston, he joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline, but you know that. You know what, Mike? It's when you're gone, not a knock on anyone else, not a knock on Scout because of stuff, it's when you're gone that people truly appreciate how much of a master at your craft you are. Now, I'm not quite sure if you saw some of the feedback, and I actually felt for Scal. I'm like, dude, it's tough to get in there and do play-by-play, but it just goes to show. It's not an easy gig, right, Mike?
Well, you would like to think it's something that you do, and been doing as long as I've been doing, that there is some level of competency to it, that somebody can't walk in off the street and do it.
Yeah,
that's the hope, anyway.
Oh yeah. Well, I was hoping you were there because you know you've done it before when Danny is sitting next to you, and you know you always ask really good questions when Danny Ainge is there. But the one thing I thought was funny was that any play by the Bulls, Danny couldn't say a word because I think that he would instantly get fined for tampering, anything having to do with the refs. So it almost sounded like someone who was already fairly restrained and obviously never swears or gets too angry was even more so when it came to but when it came to the Celtics, he had no problem crapping over some of his guys if they weren't getting back on defense. It was actually something to behold, Mike Gorman.
It was good to listen to in that sense, but, and I hope people who were listening to realize that Danny is severely constrained in terms of talking about the opposition. So he had to pretty much limit his comments to the Celtics. And you know, he was pretty straightforward. He wasn't happy with the way guys played. And certainly I know he was streaming at the end of the game, trending rather, when he went on and said, like, this was no fun. I didn't enjoy this at all.
Yeah. You hear him. I mean, obviously, when you're at the games, he's usually not sitting too far from you, where he's, you know, yelling and screaming. And we've seen him obviously become demonstrative as he uses his cleanest swear words that he can. What's the angriest you've seen him, like, from doing the play-by-play, watching him on the side? Do you remember a time where you almost saw him snap?
Well, yeah, I've seen him very angry and very tight on the sidelines, so much so that he has to leave away from the actual game. That happens a lot,
yeah.
Danny. In big games, he's not out there for the fourth quarter because he just gets too involved. But after, you know, 40-odd years of hanging around with Tommy, a guy who got involved in every single game, there's a real similarity between the two in their approach to the game and the broadcast. But I thought Danny did a terrific job under the circumstances. It gave people a chance to see how he thinks and where he hopes his team is going. I thought Scal did a good job of bringing that out. Again, he wasn't able to do the traditional analyst job because he really couldn't comment on Chicago because he said, oh, yeah, we like this guy. He's really good. He gets fined.
Have you ever seen another GM in another market do a TV broadcast?
No.
Yeah,
no.
and that speaks to how much Danny's willing to roll the dice. I mean, he has the filter on so tight that he knows he's not going to make a mistake, which is pretty remarkable into itself.
Yeah, you know, it's pretty interesting because he doesn't want Scal's job and Scal doesn't want my job, so you get two guys out there. You don't.
Right, who just like just gotta get through the day, get through the show, and not go viral. So, what does Mike Gorman do on his day off? Like, what did you end up doing?
Oh, I had some stuff, personal stuff I needed to get done. I did manage to sneak 8 holes of golf in over the course of the last 5 days.
Nice.
But, yeah, I just, Yeah, I have an apartment in Boston, and then I have a home that we've lived in for the last 20 years. So for anybody who has a cottage on the Cape or whatever, when you have places you're trying to keep track of, inevitably one gets beat up pretty badly. So I needed some time to get my home ready for springtime.
You did 8 holes?
Yeah, what happened?
Just an 8th one? Did you say F it?
Couldn't make it to the turn? Did the cart break down? What happened?
No, my wife has taken up the game. She's a pretty good athlete. She was an All-American when she was in college as a swimmer. But she's a pretty good athlete, but she's taken up the game, so I'm not pushing it too far. So she was like, after the 8th hole, she could see our car in the parking lot. She said, that's it. I said, okay. Okay. We were gone.
We're done. Now, do you fish ever? Are you? Because, I mean, you live by a lake and everything. I mean, do you ever fish?
All the time. Yeah.
Oh,
how do you catch a fish?
How good are you at catching fish, Mike?
Mike, listen, if you ever want to learn from the master, you know, you and I.
Rich has gone 9 months without catching a fish, Mike.
And I love to fish, but I can't catch anything. And
you got to come down here then. Here, come visit. Bring the kids. They'll like it. We'll send them out in a bunch of kayaks and you and me will fish.
I would do it in a heartbeat. As a matter of fact, like, is there a place in Boston? Because I'm being serious. Like, is there a place locally that you can fish that's near the city, you know, where you're staying for some of these? Because if there is, you know, I would love to, on one of the days where you've got some time off or whatever, maybe even like, you know, an afternoon before a game, go out and you could teach me the ways, a wise one, because I suck. I'm the cooler when it comes to fishing.
Yeah, I've been learning. My son-in-law is a real avid fisherman and a very good one, too. So, he teaches me. I'd be happy to pass on fishing lessons. That's no problem.
I would take that in a heartbeat, Mike Gorman.
But you got to come down here. So in my own surroundings, I know if you could look out my window right now and see the lake that I border, you'd want to fish. Yeah.
What are you pulling out? Like, what's in that lake?
Bass, mostly.
Oh, awesome. You ever cook them?
No, I'm doing it to survive. I'm just doing it. I have one guy that I kind of catch once every 3 or 4 hours. The same guy, you know. So
he just comes back. He likes you. He misses you. Well. All right. So you know, this team has been fun to watch. You know, this is guy. You know, we talked. You know, last time we talked, they were kind of on the road to where they were now. Now, granted, the Bulls game was obviously not fun. A lot of people were injured. They still should have won. But still, they're trending in the right direction. And it almost seems like the team that we've been watching for the last several weeks is the exact opposite of what we saw during the month of March. And it's, you know, they're playing defense now. Jason Tatum is clutch. Jason Tatum is getting to the hole. He's playing downhill. He's getting in the paint. He's getting to the free throw line. It's basically all the things. They don't have that huge period of brain fart basketball for the most part point anymore, where they just take a quarter off. When you're watching that transition, do you think that it's just that, you know, now is the real season, as a lot of basketball players say, is, you know, the NBA, there's a way of now it's really, you know, time to start playing. It's, you know, there's, you take your foot off the gas a little bit during the dog days, or is there something else going on there?
Well, no, I think they're just trending in the right direction, and I think they're discovering the defensive end of the floor at the right time of the year if you're a Celtic fan, because obviously, you know, going into the playoffs, that ultimately the team that defends better is going to win. That's not to say I think the Celtics can go all the way to the championship game, but they might be able to get to where they got to before in 3 of the last 4 years, because I heard you guys earlier, I do think there are some issues going on with the teams that are above them. So, but concentrating more with the Celtics, they've discovered the defensive end of the floor, and they've discovered the reality of the fact that you can make up for bad performance on the offensive end of the floor with good performance on the defensive end of the floor. So that combined with the fact that Tatum has taken the ball to the basket now. I mean, Tatum should get to the free throw line 10 plus times every game.
Yep.
And if he's not being aggressive as he should be. His partner in crime there, Jalen, is just relentless in taking the ball to the basket. So I think they're trending in the right direction in terms of the habits that they're forming. The big one, though, is the defensive end of the floor. And they need Rob Williams out there for that.
It's interesting you bring that up, Mike, because Rob Williams has missed the last few games with a sore knee. And overall, it just seems that regardless of how many bodies Danny throws at this, you know, signing Jabari Parker turned out to be a really good thing off the bench. But it just seems that someone's always missing, and a key player is always missing. And the danger, as I see it, is this might just be one of those years where the Celtics never really have their full team together.
Yeah, you might well be right there. Hopefully they get them together for the last 10 or 15 games. Hopefully they start to play Walker all the time as opposed to not on back-to-backs.
We were just talking about that. They got four back-to-backs before the end of the season beginning tomorrow night.
Yeah, I think they need to play him and see how that fares. But, again, I think the Celtics right now are in a pretty good position. They're getting along with each other. They're on the same page in defensively. Parker could be like the James Posey of this basketball team.
Yeah.
So I really think this Celtics, if you're a Celtics fan, you're in pretty good shape here. It's been a roller coaster ride all season long. There have been some disappointments. But again, I like where the team is at right now. I like how they're playing. And it's going to be hard to tell. I mean, I can't wait for that game tomorrow night because I think Phoenix is a team that ultimately comes out of the West. But they're a very, very good basketball team, and we know this kid can score in Boston. So I want to see that game, but I want to see who plays Friday night more than anything else. Apparently, James Harden's not going to be able to play. What's his name?
Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
Durant's day-to-day. It looks like Harden's out for the rest of the regular season.
There's no telling what Kyrie's going to do when he shows up.
That's right.
Well, you mentioned that you heard us talking about that, and my old thing is that you look at the three teams above the Celtics, and there's just implosion potential for all three. You can see a scenario where they could all implode, or maybe one or all. When you look at them, which team do you think has the least amount of potential to implode? When it comes to the Nets, the Sixers, and the Bucks. Philly, so you think even with the history that Doc Rivers has and even with what we've seen sometimes, you know, during the playoffs between, you know, I mean, basically just from the Sixers themselves, that is they are now the team that almost seems implosion proof.
I think so when you compare them to the other two that you're talking about, yeah. Okay. I mean, I know what's going on with the Bucks that they keep losing all these home games.
Yeah.
That's certainly not a good sign at all. And they've lost, what, five in a row at home, something like that, or five of the last six at home they've lost?
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So there's something going on there. And I think if you ultimately figure out a way to defend Giannis, whose whole game is to just kind of run right up the middle of the floor and take it to the basket, if you can put up some sort of picket fence to stop him from doing that or at least slow him down, I think Milwaukee is beatable. The Nets, again, it depends upon who shows up and whether they all come to play or whether they don't. Everybody probably says, of course, it's the playoffs. They're going to come to play. There's no telling with these guys what they're going to do. There's certainly no telling with what Kyrie is going to do. I mean, he's a wonderful player on the court, and every time he plays, he seems to put up 30-plus and hit big shots at the end of games. But then he comes back in the next day, and his intense stick is burnt out or something, but he just doesn't want to play. I don't know what is going to happen with the Nets. So, again, if you're a Celtic fan, it's kind of fun. You can sit and watch these other teams kind of implode, as you say, while you're starting to come around and playing the best basketball of the year, which before that thing with Chicago the other night, the Celtics were doing. They have been playing as well as they've played all year long.
It's kind of it really is tough because you're sitting there and, you know, you're hoping that the other ones implode. But even if some of those do start to crumble, the talent is so good that the Celtics will still have to play borderline perfect basketball against those teams as they crumble for them to move ahead. But we've seen it before. We've seen them clamp down in the playoffs and be able to take advantage of a team that isn't fully functioning. It just is going to be. It makes everything more interesting, Mike Gorman, here at the home stretch, at least.
And I think if you're going to talk about Giannis and you're going to talk about Kyrie and you're going to talk about Durant, then you got to talk about Tatum. I mean, he's got to be in that same conversation. I mean, his numbers are ridiculously good over the last month. He seems to be getting better. He seems to be getting a much better understanding of the game as to how to play it on both ends of the floor. So, yeah, when you talk about big stars on the other team, you've got to talk about him, and then you got to talk about Brown a little bit, too. So the 1-2 punch is there. It's just you need the smarts, you need the walkers, you need the all the other guys on the team, the Williamses. You need them all to be healthy at the same time.
And this is a very important time for Jason Tatum, Mike, just to wrap things up here. You look at Tatum and you look at the playoff situation as it is. They're going to have to go on the road in the second round at one point or another. And if Tatum's going to really take that next step, he needs to explode in the playoffs again as the guy, as the unquestioned guy. Last year he did really well, but he wasn't the unquestioned guy. This time he's the captain of the ship.
Yeah, there's no question about that. But we have to remember, and as things change very quickly in the next 3 or 4 weeks, this is going to be much like the bubble. You're going to be playing your home games. You're going to be in front of a limited number of fans. So there really isn't a great home court advantage. In other words, if I was coaching or GMing a team right now, I would not be worried about whether we had get or don't get the home court advantage. I'd be much more worried about getting my guys healthy and ready to play whomever, wherever.
All right. Well, Mike Gorman, I'm already going to go ahead and start booking my trip. Or next time you're down at the islands, you got to come down here. Now, you know, I'll take you out on the old tiny certainly boat.
You can row right out into the bay with him. Yeah, it'd be great.
Go right out of the bay and then not figure out how to get back, and we can do it that way. But at least I can take you to a nice clam shack or something like that when you come down here. Mike, good talking to you, man. We missed you the other night. Glad to have you back.
All right, thanks, guys. Talk to you soon.
All right, see you, Mike. All right, after Joe Murray's headlines, we have a couple more Brookline 911 calls and more talk about Little Pants.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Worse than me.
Way worse than me.
Toucher and Rich.
And I don't look good.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
There's someone on roller skates.
There's a rabbit on my driveway that's, I don't know what's going on with it, but it's just sitting there.
Everyone's angry in Brookline. Everyone's feeling stressed.
Oh.
Where the people there are surly and the average age is dead.
What is that?
There is a man taking a poop.
He's having a good time, cause everyone's angry in Brookline.
I have a turkey that came into my house and is sitting in my kitchen.
Oh, 98.5, the Sports Hub. It is Toucher and Rich. John Wallach, Joe Murray, who's been fighting with someone on Twitter. What's the fight about, Joe Murray?
I don't know. The guy said he didn't like me, but then asked me to donate to his charity.
So of course you did it, right?
Yeah.
That's what you gotta do.
Oh,
of course. That's how it works. You insult me. And
it's okay if you don't like me. It's fine. This is radio. If I don't like you, I'm doing my job, right?
All right. Well, I mean, at least, you know, at least the guy's got a heart, you know? What, are you not going to give to his charity? I don't know what's going on there. But Brookline is a strange place, man. Just the more and more I hear these calls, and the ones we don't even play, it's just these poor people on the other side of this. I mean, the 911 operators, as I said, they're just saints who walk among us, having to deal with some of these calls. If you didn't hear it earlier, if you just are new to all of this, these are the type of calls that you get in Brookline. If we played this one earlier in the hour.
911 recorded line, where is your emergency?
I am at Dean Road, and there's this little boy here, and I'm trying my best to not have to do anything to this little boy.
Wait,
he's coming after me.
Okay. And explain to me again what was
going on. Guys, he threw a stick at me.
How old is he?
This boy is 8 years old.
And is he white, black, Asian, Hispanic?
I would say white.
Okay, and what's he wearing?
He's wearing a blue pants. Soccer jersey,
I mean,
number 10.
Right there. I just, the tweets we're getting on this are just fantastic. They said that, I mean, people are saying, I ain't going back to jail from the 8-year-old kid, probably. He called me a stupid head. I mean, this is the kind of calls we get here. People calling 911. Now let's get to a new one. This is from an area that we usually get. It's funny. There's almost like heat zones in Brookline, John.
Yes.
There's certain areas that attract more calls than others.
Tappan Street, for example.
Right near
the Star Market. Yes.
It's definitely a hot zone.
Yeah, very much so.
There's certain parts of, like over by Coolidge Corner, that there's, you know, a little bit of a hot zone there as well.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get to one straight from another popular hot zone here in Brookline. There you go. Roll the tape, Dan.
911, this line is recorded. Where is your emergency?
Hi, I'm calling to report a woman who's harassing people pretty aggressively on Beacon Street near the Shaws.
She's back.
Hang on. Stop the tape. Hang on. He said the Shaws. In fairness, that it could be a different place. I mean, the Star Market is where we know that one woman
right.
is.
Right. Okay.
All right, let's back it up and let it roll there, Dan.
On Beacon Street near the Shaws, on Beacon and Washington Street.
All right. You said it's near the Shaws?
Yeah.
All right. Is that the Shaws or the Star Market?
Oh, sorry. Star Market, yeah.
Yeah,
of course.
Of course it is.
It's the crazy Star Market lady who yells at everybody.
Got the decibel meter. Hey. Remember we had a guy who said, he called in and said he delivered to Star Market, up to the loading dock, backed up to the loading dock, and she complained that his truck was too loud.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the sheer amount of calls we get about this woman, if I'm not mistaken, that was...
I didn't do anything.
Yes.
I was tagging the five sector.
That's about
that
her.
From. That's right.
There's no question. There's, you know, people who are saying that she had a megaphone and was yelling at them. I just love the fact that the woman on the other end of 911, the operator, I mean, he was like, let me...
Is that the Shaws or the Star Market?
Yeah, of course. It's if she knew exactly who she was calling about. It's not the Shaws, it's the Star Market. Let's see
what... Is that the Shaws or the Star Market?
Oh, sorry, Star Market, yeah, sorry.
All right.
Yeah.
Is that happening right now?
It just happened like 25, 30 minutes ago. I'm just walking. I was there, and I was shopping, and we came outside, and this woman was harassing this black guy for his car and stuff, was filming him, taking down his license plate, talking about how she's going to sue him. And we were just walking past, and we turned to look, and then she started yelling at us for our dogs. She called my girlfriend a bitch and like chased us down the street. And...
You know, I keep thinking that this woman is just going to take it to another level before someone takes her away in handcuffs, because she's just, you know, now people are treating her as just merely annoying, and I think now she wants so much attention she's just going to say the wrong thing to the wrong person.
I just think it's become one of those things where it's, oh, it's Crazy Lucy, there she is again, just calling me a bitch.
I don't know.
I mean, just imagine being like the manager there, just every day you walk in, alright, yep, it's fine. It's like the one time that I was, I had a friend of mine come visit me, and he, you know, he's from the country. It's like where I grew up, and we were just walking down Boylston Street, and we're just having a conversation. As we walk by, this guy just goes, "Hey, mother," and starts like screaming stuff, and I just keep talking to him, and he stops and goes, no. What happened not just now needs to be discussed. Like, what was that, and why was that guy screaming at you? I'm like, oh, yeah, I see that guy every day. That's crazy Dave. Like, Dave just likes yelling at people. But this woman has the meter. Like, she and we've played some of her calls as well. Oh, yeah, the old Star Market. They got themselves quite a character. Let's let it roll.
Yelling at us for our dogs. She called my girlfriend a bitch and, like, chased us down the street and was just verbally harassing us, videotaping us and stuff. And,
okay.
So it's just, like, it's multiple people that she's kind of just going after. And, it was weird. I mean, she's just, okay. I think she's having a bit of a breakdown.
Right.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay, cool. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Put it in the
bin. Know about her. That's enough. Thank you.
You know what she was doing? She was tagging the five sector.
Market minding my own business. She's tagging the cops in the five sector.
That's right. Of course she was. I mean, I don't know why I haven't taken a journey down there just to at least get a look-see. Just to kind of figure out what's going on. I don't know if I want
to get... I was just going to say, I don't think you really need to get too close. The man on the street interview from Nick, I don't think is necessary here. I would fear for Nick's safety.
All right, let's go to John real quick on line two. John, well, what's up, man?
Hey, what's going on? I originally called in you guys about her in the first place. I was the Amazon driver.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so believe it or not, she was there last week. And I saw her as I was walking in, and I was like, I'm not doing this again. I turned right around. I'm like, I'll deliver it at the end of the day when she's not there. But yeah, man, she's right back at it again.
Okay. It just never stops. It never stops.
Do we want to see a picture of this woman? Like, is it something you always wanted to be like?
I do. I would like to see a picture, because I have this picture in my head, but I'm fully willing for it to be disrupted. I would like to see a picture.
Part of me likes kind of... the image in my head and staying like a faraway observation. Like, I kind of want to just have it be this thing I don't know too much about.
No, but you don't want someone to get too close. I mean,
I don't know.
I would like to see a picture of this woman. I would. So much about her. She's badass crazy. I would want to see what badass crazy looks like.
It's consistent. It's like every time I get these calls, there's somebody calling about her. It's if it's not her calling, because we've had some of those as well. All right, well let's end it with this. And this is a call, by the way, I do not fault this person for making. It seems a little strange, but you know what? Who knows what we would have done in this situation? And this is, by the way, a call that is becoming all too common in Brookline. Let's take a listen.
911, the line is recorded. Where is your emergency?
Hi, I'm outside condominiums, and there's a very aggressive flock of turkeys blocking people from leaving their apartments, and I actually was attacked by one this morning.
Okay, do you need any medical attention?
I don't need any medical attention, but I thought I'd let you know. I'm looking at one right now that's literally staring right outside a neighboring unit.
It has death on its mind.
Literally staring right outside a neighboring unit.
Okay, stop. Laugh all you want. Those turkeys are sons of bitches.
Oh, yeah.
All right?
Yep.
Those things will chase you down They don't give a rat's ass.
Yeah.
So that's the one thing. This may sound like it's pet. It's not. If there was a gang of turkeys, I've seen these things in action. And they have no mercy. They're like Cobra Kai. They're going to go sweep the leg with these things. They have these talons, and they'll come after you. I've seen people being pecked. If you've been attacked by one of these things, because Brookline, for some reason, has more of them than anybody. If you've been attacked by a turkey, there was the one guy who called in, that turkey got into his house. You know what a nightmare that would be? You walk into your house, you flip on your switch in the middle of the night, and there's a big-ass turkey sitting there on your table. Dude, freak me the hell out. I got nothing, but I'm with this guy. I'm on team guy, team dude.
Literally staring right outside a neighboring unit. Yeah, I'd say there's about maybe 12 of them all scattered around.
So what's a cop do when they shows up?
Well, you shoot.
He pulls out the revolver.
You pull a tackleberry.
Yeah. Come with me.
I'll get your cat out of the tree. No, I don't know what you do. I mean, there's got to be like some crazy like siren or something that scares them away, or I don't know, weird-ass net. I don't know what you do. I've never seen anyone come and wrangle the turkeys before. All I know is that they are an issue. Like, they're a big problem.
That's true. If you, honest to God, though, if you are, and I can see this. I mean, we laugh at this, but I can see it. I'm not going outside with a crazy turkey sitting on my porch.
Hell no! Much less a gaggle of them or whatever you call them.
How do you handle that if you're the police? I mean, you don't just like put on gloves and try and remove it. You have to do something. That's a good question.
I have no idea. I have no idea you handle it or how you wrangle it. All I know is that I'm not going to fault this guy for calling for 12 freaking turkeys ganging up and you can't leave your house.
I've heard stories. I have. All right,
maybe 12 of them all scattered around.
Yeah. Was anyone else injured or attacked by the?
A few days ago, I think one of the mailmen were kind of chased by one, but I didn't think to call anyone because they seemed to be non-aggressive after that. But after what happened this morning, I think they're kind of getting a little too comfortable.
Okay, let me have them stop down there now.
All right, thank you.
All right. So somebody just said, I had a pack of turkeys in my yard, and the mail lady had to run into my house. Three males were charging her. I had to get goldfish and throw them out to distract them.
Yes. I don't blame her.
Someone says, I'm a mailman. I can confirm these turkeys will chase you across multiple streets. Our pepper spray doesn't even work on them.
Oh, it doesn't? Oh, that sucks.
No question.
Oh, man.
No question. Yeah, that's the one call that I'm like, all right, dude, I'm getting pissed too. Because, I mean, I've seen these suckers, and they will peck the hell out of you. It doesn't tickle. If you're holding crap, you're dropping it, and you're running.
But I'm thinking, if you're a cop and you get that call, it's not like, oh, God, here we go. It's like, oh, God. I mean, what the hell?
Somebody said, you know the angry turkeys in Brookline drink the same water as the people, right? I blame the water department. Just everyone's pissed off, including the turkeys there. All right, 617-779-0985. We have a couple calls. Also, Ty Anderson, we will welcome him back to the show. Bruins looking good, even though yesterday was somewhat of a boring game. Tuca looked great. We'll talk to Ty, and we'll take your calls as well. 617-779-0985.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.